Work on News Talk 580 CFRA. Agree or disagree, we want to hear from you. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
908, welcome to it. This is Ottawa at Work. I'm Andrew Pinson for this Friday, August 19th. Welcome to it. Lots to get to today. We're going to continue to talk about the healthcare announcement from the Ford government yesterday. Lots of reaction when it comes to particularly long-term care. So we're going to chat about that coming up. Carmen Levy is a tech expert. We're going to chat about that. There's been security warnings for a flaw in iPhones, iPads, MacBooks. Carmen Levy is a tech expert. We're going to talk about that. Some news you can use later on this morning. And it's Friday, so Eric Alper is also going to join us for Music Friday. Coming up at 11:30. All of that and more coming up between now and noon. But first,
Ottawa at Work. Big Five Stories.
Time for the Big Five Stories panel. Joining me in studio this morning, CFRA's Chris Holsky. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And CFRA's Corey Price.
Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back
That's right. You thought you could leave on a Friday.
For 4 hours. Here's another 25 minutes or so.
All right, let's get into it.
I can barely hear you, Corey.
We just want your great opinions. I don't know. Mic check here?
How are we doing?
Oh, switch over here. CPJ pointing there.
There we go.
We're good. There.
Hello, everybody.
There. Hello, Dr. Nick. So, healthcare. I just wanted to talk about the Ford government plan first. There's a few things I wanted to get to today. But 18-page plan for healthcare released yesterday. Chris, I'll start with you. What sticks out the most, good and bad?
Well, I don't think that they've really delved too far into the plan at this stage. Sylvia Jones was asked when it comes to moving more surgeries into private clinics for specifics on what kind of surgeries could be moved, and she didn't really have an answer. It was, well, what we do, first of all, is that we look at which centers of infrastructure are already in place to make this simple. So they are still very clearly in the early stages of this. The other one that jumped out was the lack of selection for people who are waiting for a long-term care home. If they're in a hospital bed still trying to move out and alleviate some pressure. Honestly, right now, given the current situation, I can understand the reasoning of this because there was a similar measure in place during the worst times of the pandemic. And given this current situation, I think that right now it is reasonable, like something temporary like this. You would like to see them eventually go to a permanent long-term care home of that choice, but we need to ensure that our hospitals have adequate staff right now.
And Corey, anything to go for you? Obviously, I don't think it's, we have a plan here, so I think all of it is good in a sense, but what stuck out for you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing in the two things that seem on the front of people's minds the most in response were, is this an issue of privatization eventually going further than what we're saying right now? And like Chris was saying with the issue of the long-term care, so we're being given the assurances that this is how it's going to work, that if it's not the place that you had chosen, it won't be far from your family. We're going to keep those things feasible for keeping the care going. I think the biggest thing is just, as we're saying, because we're waiting for detail, it's one of those things where, like, on paper, if it works as it's described, yeah, it sounds great. But it's seeing how it ends up being executed is the thing that, like, we're waiting for clarity on and how smoothly it goes. And I think just the biggest question is, as with any big government plan, it's like, you've made this sound great, right? But will we see it actually play out that way
in practice? And just in terms of, I guess, wondering, are you guys surprised in terms of the retention aspect? There isn't anything here, and I've heard this from the Nursing Association as well, that we've been talking about retaining nurses and keeping nurses in the sector right now, but there's nothing here in terms of incentives for nurses. Bill 124 is still on the table. That's not reversed in this front. So are you surprised that there's no kind of retention for nurses here, Chris?
I'm honestly not surprised. They've really stuck to it throughout the entire course of this crisis of not doing more when it comes to retention. I'm doubtful, honestly, that they will at this time. I'm not sure what leads ahead. Given the entire structure of everything going forward with this, it's like Corey brings up a good point. What kind of degree of faith do people have in the Ford government in order to do this right and get this done? And I'm not sure it's all there right now. And I certainly don't think that's the case for a lot of healthcare professionals when it comes to what happens next.
And I think politically, too, it's kind of interesting because I think, if Doug Ford steps up right now and reverses and steps down on Bill 124, I think they would see that as a political loss. So I think that's also playing into this, too. Just my thoughts. But are you surprised, I guess, Corey, that there's no kind of retention for nurses and others? It's what we've been hearing about for weeks now, you know, what they've been saying needed to be done.
There were details, I believe, to an extent about hiring or like additional positions, if I'm remembering correctly. And I wonder if part of the commitment to the bill as it exists is an assumption that we'll be able to get people in if there's a lack of retention, or in the case of like if you've moved a procedure to a private place, though you're paying for it with your OHIP card, that they have staff there already? Like, are they, is it a sort of we're mitigating one with the other? Is that the thought process? Because it might just be, well, okay, we're maybe having a staffing issue in one place. If we've moved it somewhere else, maybe less of it there.
Or is it something like where you have somebody who's frustrated working in the public half of this environment, because now we're looking at a bigger split this here and saying, well, maybe we'll go head over to the private side and see how the other half lives. And then if they are moving things into more private surgeries and operations, then perhaps the plan is to balance things out that way.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I guess we're still kind of waiting for.
Yeah. And the make or break detail with that is, you know, it's the pay with your OHIP card. If that remains true, people will be completely fine with this.
And access, equal access, I think.
Yeah, and that's the line, and they've committed to that to such a degree that I imagine it has to be the genuine case, like the dedication to we're not going to let this look like a money grab. Like, it's going to be that, because I think otherwise the whole thing will kind of sour for people. Like
compliments where compliments are due, and got to give some credit to Sylvia Jones, who looked completely lost within the last 2 weeks, and now has come forward and said things now. Even though there is definitely not a full plan in place at this stage, she at least came out and said something. This is the direction that we're moving right now. The one area where I do, you know, have a little bit of irritation was when she went up and saying, there are some people who are going to want to protect the status quo at full. You don't need to say that as a government official. Just go out there, state your plan. There is absolutely no reason right now why you should be preemptively attacking the opposition when you're in the middle of a crisis, especially when the opposition in Ontario practically does not exist right now.
The status quo line is the kind of line that makes people nervous about what the trajectory might be, because it does feel needlessly preemptive, right? Where it's like,
yeah, absolutely.
What are you getting in front of?
But also, I just thought, just a last point on this was, I thought it was kind of interesting. It was like, you know, the status quo won't change, right? And it's just like, yeah, that's what we've been asking you to do for 3 weeks. Like, we've been asking you to fix the healthcare system, and now you're saying the status quo. Like, I just don't understand. It's like, yeah, we asked you to fix it. So I was kind of confused by that. Wanted to get another topic in here before we go to break. It is 9:16 here. Let's turn to the United People of Canada. It looks like they're being evicted from St. Bridget's Church. We saw the eviction notice yesterday. The bailiff telling me they'll need to go to court to get a court order to enforce this. But seeing there this morning, you know, they've got cars on both sides of the parking lot. They've kind of blocked off some traffic here. There is fewer people there, but you know, is this an occupation to get? Are they here to stay?
Well, the irony, of course, if they are blocking off access to the parking lot when you have people in there complaining about an unlawful eviction or denying people access to the property or an attempt to do so, there are people who pay to park in that parking lot. Unless those cars move, they can't use the parking spots that they pay to use within that parking lot.
We need to stop other people from paying.
Honestly, and given reputation, how else do you foresee this going forward, right? Do you think it's going to be a peaceful exit before police show up with the bailiff and a court order? I think the odds of that are low.
I hope so, right? You hope so, but, you know, he's showed up twice now and they've just swarmed him.
It's a commercial lease for one thing. This is not a residential lease, so it's not like people are living there. So I think that angle of any sympathy you might gain from, well, this is somebody's home, it's nobody's home, I think that's completely out the window. And you've been there, Andy. It's been very confrontational whenever the bailiff has shown up. Do you think anything is going to change the next time the bailiff comes back, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, with additional reinforcements? I don't think so. Honestly, if we are heading towards a trajectory, the greatest odds are some February flashbacks for some people who may have already experienced something like that currently on that property.
It does feel like it's kind of playing itself all over again. Do you think, Corey, that they're here to stay?
I don't know if I would use the words here to stay, because I do think there's going to be some kind of exit date at some point. Do I think this process is about to be slower and more drawn out than it needed to be? Probably. Based on all the information we currently have and everything that we're seeing, I don't know why you wouldn't think that.
Anyhow, if you are the United People of Canada, say that three times fast.
Yeah,
and you have paid your rent. Prove it.
What?
It's like, it should be easy to prove.
This is the thing, and maybe I've mentioned this before we go to break, but just. You're trying to chat with these people. It's so hard when it comes to journalism because it is like trying to wrestle an alligator, asking them questions, right? Like you ask, for example, the rent, right? It's just like, okay, so I've got an eviction notice here that has everything lined out. There's some pretty great detail here. Can you respond to this? The response is it's all lies and you're a pedophile. Like this is the level of talk that you're dealing with right now. And it's just people think, oh, well, you gotta be fair. You gotta give up both sides. And it's just like, there is no other side here, like in a sense of, no, you gotta call them when they're lying because they'll just keep lying to you. That's all they've done so far. But anyway.
Well, the story about why police arrived and the actions
exactly.
of police. It's just like, if you are caught in a lie, then it means that anything else you say cannot be taken at face value. That's the reality.
And it's just, I haven't been able to trust kind of anything they've said. So essentially, similarly, like when I show up, police tell me that they're there because the tenant hasn't paid rent. The locksmith tells me that they're there because the tenant hasn't paid rent. The bailiff tells me that they're there because the tenant hasn't paid rent. All separate conversations. But then they say that they've paid their rent and they have nothing to back that up. So it's just, it's impossible to kind of nail down any facts from them because it's not really their prerogative on any point. But I guess we'll leave it there for now. We'll come back to that. But it's at 9:20. A few more things to talk about on the Big Five Stories panel. Chris Holsky and Corey Price here. We'll be right back. This is Ottawa at Work.
You're listening to News Talk.
At this time. However, they said, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Dumb.
It's too flippant.
Dumb approach.
Yeah.
It just, internally, right? Just to say, hey, we're going to look at it. And just for listeners to know, Cardinal Mark Ouellette, accused by someone in a lawsuit of sexual assault earlier this week, a woman only identified as F, and the Pope saying yesterday that he would not open an investigation on that. So just wanted to give some background on that. A couple more questions here in the news. Canada Post stopped delivering homes to homes near Dunrobin. This is a bizarre story. They say their mailbox is too short, Chris, and they've had to go out and adjust it, but they completely stopped delivering mail.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it took apparently this repaving happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
that's the thing I don't get.
Well, then again, if a mail carrier, it's like maybe it's a new one.
Yeah.
Perhaps
yeah,
if somebody, okay, somebody's fair. On a new yeah. route says, you know, this isn't safe and I can't do this, then really there's not much that can be done. Now, Canada Post says it is trying to help, at least to some degree, saying, well, you can pick it up here and here are some of the steps that we can take. Yesterday, it certainly sounded like from the people that Dylan Dyson spoke with that Canada Post had not been reaching out so far, but at least the mail carrier, that I mean the whole mail body of Canada Post is saying, is apologizing for what has happened, but we'll see what happens.
It was funny, the first letter they actually got when they got their mail back was
hey,
that, your mailbox is too short.
I do love the guy that Dylan spoke with that was like, so what I did is I took a piece of cardboard that says 45 inches and I zip tied it to the mailbox yeah. so they know how tall my mailbox is.
I saw the picture, yeah, he did.
And
he's
like,
hey.
Dude, that's pretty good.
But it's more, and it's not, you know, not following the rules. It was more just, you know, that things have been like that for years and now all
it's
of just, a sudden they've stopped delivering
it's
mail.
It's bizarre.
You know what I mean? It is bizarre.
It's just
yeah.
bizarre to hear, okay, so, you know, why such a sudden, it goes from like everything to nothing? Just very weird.
Well, in Dunrobin as well, right? Like in terms of mail, there's not a lot of recourse in terms of mail options, right?
But so, they have to go to Stittsville to pick it up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
that's not a quick trip necessarily. Though it is, you do have to point at the whole mail carrier edict of through rain, through snow, through sleet, but apparently a mailbox too short, that's where they draw the
line. That's where we draw the line, yeah. Can't reach down.
Your mailbox will, in fact, have to come to me, I'm sorry. So if you bring your mailbox to the depot, we will fill it with mail, but
that's a way better slogan.
They're reaching out of a vehicle, though. It's just like, maybe, it's like, get a shorter car. It's just like, commission, like, sports cars for the mail carriers,
there we
right?
go.
So they're already
there
low
we
to
go.
The ground.
That'll yeah. get the government people very happy.
The Corvette C8 in the C stands for Canada Post.
And last one here, we got a couple more minutes here. I kind of have to set some of this up a little bit, but over the course of the pandemic, so there's a report here, nearly half of millennials and Gen Z have lost money by keeping unwanted purchases over the course of the pandemic. So essentially, we've all bought a bunch of stuff over the course of the pandemic, a lot of it online. Sometimes we don't want it, But apparently, if we're younger, we're not returning it and we're losing money.
Yeah, guilty.
100%. Yeah. So you said that you were waiting to return something over the course of the pandemic.
Yeah, well, I can actually think of two examples. I'll try to keep it fast, but just for context, I just turned 25. So just to set the age up, right at the beginning of Gen Z is where I'm at, just to paint a picture here. The text board at times seems to have already figured that out. But so there are two things. One, I had bought a pair of Bluetooth wireless earbuds that broke after about 2 weeks of me having them. And I had determined that the process to return them, frankly, seemed too complicated.
You know what's amazing? I'm just going to cut you off right there.
Yeah.
Just in terms of this survey, that's exactly what they said was a lot of the reason why millennials and Gen Z
were returning them. They
Go
were on.
On
sale, and I was like, okay, so I didn't lose as much money as I could have lost, and I'm just like, I guess I'm just not going to wear these. And they are in my room right now. Non-functional
free money
earbuds.
Free money. You should we could get a radio ad going here.
Yeah,
just like if you want.
The other is just a much sillier example, but I ordered off of eBay what I thought was an original movie poster from about 25 years ago, and it was actually a reprint. And I kept it because I still wanted it, but I was like, oh, I thought it was an original.
Okay, that one's pure Corey.
Gen Z. Yeah, I got pranked on eBay. I didn't want to return it. So
thank you, Corey, for taking part in the Big Five Stories panel as well. Holsky, after running for the news here, I have to run for the news here, but appreciate his time as well. He will bring you your news headlines coming up after the break. We'll take some of your texts, talk a little bit more about the United People of Canada as well in this. I guess showdown that's once again turned into at St. Bridget's Church. All of that and more between now and noon. We'll be right back here on Ottawa at Work. You're listening.